bringing a little of our native Cajun, New Orleans, jazz background into the broadcast. We hope you enjoy this music as much as we do. Always puts me in the mood for raw oysters. Even now, I could have a raw oyster for breakfast when I'm listening to this music. You're tuned in to Rosie on the House, where it's our job to answer any question you have about home improvement or remodeling. We answer your question when you dial in at 1-888-767-4348. And my wife will answer the phone, get your name, where you're calling from, and your question, and we'll get you answered as quick as we can. Before we go to Kathy, who's
I got questions here.
Yeah?
You left me hanging.
Oh.
When you have your raw oyster, uh-huh. Is it on the shuck on ice, or is it out of like a tub?
Either way. Yeah, when Captain Bob sends a gallon of Grand Isle raw oysters,
mm-hmm.
I just plop them out of the jug and eat them. I just with my hands. I just
by your hand, no saltine cracker,
no salt, no fork, no saltine.
Do you drop a little Tabasco?
Sometimes
one drop or two.
Depend. Well, those Grand Isle oysters, you know, are about the size of an orange. Oh man, I'm getting hungry.
No lemon squeeze.
Baby.
Don't ruin it with lemon.
No way. Let's talk ladder safety before we take this first call, because I know a lot of y'all are going to be out using this weekend as your decoration weekend. I've seen a few homes decorated pretty profusely already. But ladders are your number one helping aid, and they can also be your number one crippling aid. There's a couple things that you never want to do with a ladder. On an extension ladder that you have 2 feet on the ground, 2 feet up against the wall that you're trying to access, make sure the 2 feet are firmly set on the ground. You want the extension ladder extending up past the top of the wall, if you can, or leaning on the parapet, if possible. And it'd be great if you could have one person stabilizing the ladder as one person is using the ladder. But there's nothing worse than putting an extension ladder up in a hurry. You've just got this one more, the last end of the last string to put on. You couldn't quite reach it from where the ladder was. So I'll get down, move the ladder 2.5-3 feet so I can reach it. You don't check it to its firm on the ground. You get about 6 or 7 rungs up and you reach out to grab that string, and at that point realize both feet of my ladder are on the ground. And it's kind of a hair-raising experience to have that thing start sliding against the wall at that point. Go ahead.
Well, and where you get hurt a lot of times isn't necessarily in the fall itself, but you get tangled up in that ladder because you're both falling.
Absolutely. And it's never the fall that hurts you. It's just the landing.
Yeah, I know. And when you're landing on that ladder as well, there's more bad things can happen.
It's horrible.
I do have some stats for you.
You do?
Yes. So last year, between November and December, there were 15,000 emergency room visits from holiday decorating nationwide. 34% of those are falling.
Okay.
Which I assume means falling off a ladder or something else you've tried to use as a ladder.
Or you're standing on your roof trying to get it on your eave and go over, head over.
Not good.
And you never set up a ladder and then put a bucket on top of that and then a brick on top of that because the ladder's not quite high enough. That's a step ladder. The things with step ladders that causes the fall most often is as you pull the legs apart, the two stabilizing legs and the two legs that hold the rungs of the ladder, the little arms that drop down don't get locked into position. You're in a hurry, they get dropped, but they don't get locked. You walk up 5 or 6 rungs of the ladder, you're reaching out over the top of this tree. At that point, you realize it isn't in locked position. It begins collapsing, and it collapses generally right, but somewhere between your knees and your waist. And you go down with the ladder. And like I say, it isn't the fall that hurts, but when you land and you're tied up in a ladder like that, it's never a comfortable experience.
And if you're on an extension ladder, you see a lot of people that, I don't know what they're really thinking or if they're trying to show off or whatever. But instead of facing the structure and putting their hands on the back side, you know, if you put your hands on the back side, then you never let go of the ladder. If you're using each step and you're going hand over hand,
yeah,
you've always got an open hand. But if you hold on to the back,
you're always
in contact. Well, you occasionally see some bonehead have their back to the structure and they're walking down face out. That is the easiest way.
Absolutely.
And if you think about how you would fall from that versus facing the structure,
it's bad.
It's a lot more serious.
It's bad. Fractured heel cup. You know how long that takes to recover from? It's horrible.
The scariest ladder experience I ever had was just about 2 weeks ago. Or was it last weekend? Might have been last weekend. I think it was last weekend. Anyways, it's been with the last week or two. I was building a little structure out of top rail for that you would use on chain link fencing for my garden cover to keep birds out and cats out and everything that loves to come into your garden.
Yes.
And I'm on my A-frame ladder about two steps from the top. So I'm below the don't go above this line. And I feel something on the back of my leg, and I turn around, and it's Remy. He's climbed at 19 months old. He's climbed five stairs up. I'm up there holding this pipe above my head. He's behind me, and we're the only two outside. Like, that's a scary feeling.
Never, but Romy's right. Never come down a ladder face out, and never climb a ladder in a thong or in thongs. You know.
Flip-flops. Or a kilt.
Yeah. Or a kilt. Yeah, don't climb a ladder in a kilt. So, all right. With all that ladder safety information, let's get to the phone. We have Kathy has been very patiently waiting for us to get to her question. She's calling from Waddell. We've actually had to reach out to one of our experts in the area because it wasn't an area I'm profusely informed about. Let's see if we can bring both callers in. Kathy, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Very well. And due to the nature of your question, we've brought in an expert on the topic. It's Mr. Vaughn Payne of East Valley Floors. Let me introduce you to Vaughn. Vaughn, this is Kathy. Kathy, why don't you go ahead and ask your question?
Okay. I had bought a used travertine table, and I figured nothing can happen to it because it's crap. And somehow, when I clean it now, and I look into the sun, level down, I see like burn marks, and I don't know whether they're from heated objects, you know, like you would get on a regular table, or what, but I'd like to know how I can remove them. Does the table itself come with a coating on it that is now worn down? That needs to be replenished.
All right. Let's see what answer Vaughn has. Travertine tabletop has what looks like water rings on it, Vaughn. How would you clean it and seal it?
Well, good morning. First, let me say we're supporting the Rosie on the House family by doing a staycation in Arizona. Right now, we're in a three-car cavalcade heading to Arizona and then to the Polar Express train from Williams to Flagstaff.
And that's a great that's a great tip, Vaughn. A lot of people go do that Polar Bear Express, but while you're in Williams, you've got to stop at Arizona, and a lot of people miss that stop.
Except my wife is absolutely frightened to death of bears.
Send video.
See Kathy.
I will.
See, Kathy, this is what you get when you call Rose House. We can even reach out to our experts that are on a family vacation and have them get the answer for you. Vaughn, go ahead. Before we lose cell contact, go ahead and give us our answer.
Okay. Kathy, probably what you've got is a stain that's come from either like orange juice or something like that, because the acids in some of those drinks will take the finish off of a travertine a lot quicker. And that applies to a floor as well as a travertine tabletop. So what you've probably done is you've lost the finish because of the etching and the acid on the liquid that was there probably. That can be cleaned and refinished. There are several different processes and products. I would start mild with a very mild cleaner and see if you can use a soap and water type thing, and then move to something with just a little bit of an abrasive in it, not something as strong as a Comet, but a powder, And then there's also Barkeeper's Friends that is a real good cleaner for that type of thing. And then if that doesn't work, go to one of the supply houses for natural stone, which would include Arizona Tile or places, Emser Tile, people like that, that sell travertine cleaning products. They can sell you a small quantity that would be good for cleaning that. And then once you've cleaned it, then they can sell you another process to do a finish and protectant, and you can put it back to its natural condition, or you can use what's called an enhancer, which actually accents the colors within the natural stone. Well, but it'll take several steps.
Well, awesome. Well, awesome. Well, Vaughn, again, thanks for allowing us to interfere with your family vacation. You travel safe. Kathy, we got him on the line just for you. And again, that was our expert, Vaughn Payne of East Valley Flooring here in the Phoenix area, serving the greater metro area with any of your floor covering wishes or desires.
Travel safe, Vaughn.
All right.
Ryan on South.
Okay.
Oh, you know what?
No,
this
go
is
ahead.
The staycation time.
That's
and,
okay.
And it was kind of led into it there organically by Vaughn, so let's roll with that. And then we'll take Ryan, calling from South Mountain, wants to talk about fireplaces.
Well, you
so
heard
it's a
Vaughn,
good time to talk about fire.
You heard Vaughn talking about supporting the Rosie on the House mission of staycations. It's all about keeping your vacation dollars here in the great state of Arizona. It always floors me how little of this state so many people have.
You brought in floors with Vaughn at East Valley Flooring. I don't know if you did that on purpose. But
of course
nice
I did.
Touch.
Of course I did. Thanks for pointing that out. Well, you can register for a staycation at rosieonthehouse.com, and you do that by just clicking on the front page, and you'll see the Arizona flag there, Travel Arizona, register to win, sponsored by Sanderson Ford. Once a month, we pick a winner, and you're entitled to go over to Sanderson Ford. And people from outside of Phoenix ask us all the time, can we enter? Our very first winner was from Tucson. Drove up here, picked out a brand new F-150, went to the high school reunion in
Ash Fork,
next Arizona.
Not far from Williams.
So any place in Arizona, you can register to win this. If you win and you don't want to run to Sanderson and pick the car up, call me. Let me know what car you want. I'll deliver it to you, okay? When I deliver it to you, we have a gift basket from the Cactus Candy Company that's been building prickly pear cactus jellies, marmalades, and candies and syrups since 1942. We'll have a nice gift basket in the car for you there from Cactus Candy Company. We'll have a gas card in there, so it won't cost you anything to go wherever you want to go. And one of our lodging partners right now is the Copper Queen Hotel down in Bisbee. Absolutely a beautifully restored old historic hotel. So there you go. Arizona staycation. Boom. Only available at Rosie on the House.